All right, so my guest tonight is certainly no stranger to us right here on Hashtag MSW, a man of integrity, honesty, as well as accountability. And he's a familiar face here simply because he never ever, and I say this over and over again, he never runs away whenever that we request his precious time amidst his hectic schedule. And when he was reappointed, you kind of go back in time as the head coach. We had the pleasure of hosting him in the studio as he outlined his exciting plans, though, for the season ahead for Mamelodi Sundowns. However, as is in the nature of this business of football, these are cruel times. They hit. So the club making that announcement, making its decision to part ways with him just yesterday after holding forth for 19 matches across all competitions. Well, they lost out on two cup competitions thus far and also sitting top of the log table. Does that play a part? Clearly not. It isn't enough, we gather, for a team of Mamelodi Sundowns' caliber. And that is precisely why we are honored to have the coach in studio with us tonight for a very candid and very insightful review of his time at the helm. We're also going to be sharing his perspective on the key moments that ultimately led to his departure. So he's here. He's seated right in front of me. A bit strange, though. To say the former head coach of Mamelodi Sundowns, Mangcobo Mngcithi. Good to see you, Baba. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Rob, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Strange for me, is it strange for you to be referred to as the former head coach of Sundowns?
No, it's not strange.
Tell me why.
I think in my football career, I've been in this merry-go-round of being a head coach in and out. But I'm very grateful for for what Sundowns has done for me over the years. I do not want to be that kind of a guy who, whenever the relationship comes to an end, you only want to be negative. Because the truth of the matter is, I would not have been at Sundowns for all these years. I've been there for almost 12 years.
Yeah,
and I have enjoyed my time. We have won countless trophies. I don't even know how many. I don't want to lie to you. So, and I've enjoyed every moment that I've had with the time and with different coaches. And even during my time now, I think I had an exciting technical team that I think they did their best. And I'm sitting here very proud that I know I did my best. And I cannot complain and say, hey, maybe I should have, I could have. Because even on the games that I lost, the cup matches, I still believe the Stellenbosch matches were a sour point, because that's where I think we did not perform very well. And it was just at the inception stages of my time. But from there, I think every match we played, we gave it our best shot. And even those that we did not win, I still believe we deserved to win with good margins. And the last one, particular, I think that one was probably one of the most difficult matches this season. And not many people are giving credit to the opposition. But I think we will be in for a surprise if we think ASFAR is a pushover in the Champions League. They may be a new team, but they have recruited well. They've got some interesting names and players from Bekane that have done well there, that are coming from Mazembe, and a very good group of players that have been with them for quite some time, and they've assembled a very formidable side. And honestly speaking, I think I'm just enjoying the moment, at least to be off this pressure cooker that I've been in for the last 11 years, you know?
Sure. I was going to say, it looks strange, though, because all the times you've been in the studio, you've been adorned in your Sundowns tracksuit, and you know how you know the apparel is very important for a club to be identified in. And here you are today, almost like we're sitting having Sunday lunch, Oma Seven Colors type of story. And strange to me in many ways, though I know you say that it isn't because of your history in coaching, but when they come through and they say that whatever the project was, is then not good enough for you to stay longer at the club. Is it a conversation or is it an instruction?
No, I wouldn't say it was an instruction, and neither would I say it was a conversation, because I think at the time when I had the discussions with the club had already made their decision, and I couldn't have an issue with that, because I also knew that the last maybe 2-3 results were not very good. Because the club of Mamelodi Sundowns caliber, they want to win every match. And I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen it with the other coaches. And I've seen the amount of support that they give you to try and make sure that you get the results. And when the results are not forthcoming, sometimes you want to blame somebody. But the truth is, we gave it our best shot.
Yeah.
We tried. The final against Makese, I think it's a match that if you play 20 times, you win it maybe 19 times. But unfortunately, we did not win it. Against Maniema Union, I think we were a bit unfortunate there, because we just had that stint of the Bafana players coming late, only having one training session prior to the final, and after the final, we have to play Maniema, and that was very difficult. And we even took a risk of rotating. And you don't want to rotate in those matches of consequence.
Sure.
Because those are the matches you don't want to risk anything. If I give you an example, in my mind and in my heart, I did have a feeling that it was a little bit unfair to expect the players that were at Bafana to still give us an A game in the final against Makese. But as a coach, you're sitting there, you are thinking about this. On the other side, you are saying, if I don't play my best team in a game of consequence like this one, and I choose to rotate, and the rotation has worked very well for me, it only backfired probably in one match against Polokwane. But overall, our rotations have really done good work for us. But on this match in particular, because we want to win a cup match, and you say, in as much as I know that this team might be fatigued, we have given them a day off on Wednesday. We have had a very light session on Thursday. Friday is the only session you have, and it's match day minus one. You can't even do more than three kilometers on match day minus one, because we are saying you don't want your players to get tired. Then you go into a final. And now as a coach with your staff, you deliberate, and you know the realities. Deep down inside you, there's something that says, ish, I don't want a situation where if I change this team today and we don't win, and people will say, but why was he rotating? Because the truth is, our people have seen our strongest team now, and they know which team does the job for us.
You share your strongest team with the strongest team for Bafana. So if they're traveling to Uganda, they travel back, they go to Cape Town, they play, they've got to travel back again another 2 hours, whether it is to Joburg or to Durban, they've got to travel, they've got to put that in, and then you've got to play a cup final. So in all of that, the expectations are high. Had you won against Makese, do you think your job would have been saved?
I wouldn't know, to be honest. I wouldn't know, because the honest truth, I think the other very challenging part, which we must also respect the leaders of the team on this one, because they are the ones who put all the support that they put in the team. And at this stage, I think in their minds, it's already about the Club World Cup. And you know what normally happens in Africa when there's a World Cup or a Champions League, or let's say AFCON. You know, in our country in general, we always seek maybe people that we think have got better expertise. And usually those people with better expertise are usually Europeans, because we think they are coming from a more developed environment. And I cannot blame the club for making that call, because it's a call that almost 90-something percent of the countries will go that direction when there's going to be AFCON.
But Sundowns would have learned, though, Coach. I mean, you've been there, like you say, almost 12 years. A club like Sundowns would have learned that the input, especially from the European coaches, has not yielded as much success as the input from local coaches in terms of trophies, in terms of qualification, in terms of winning things like, you know, Champions League football games. Surely they would have learned the history is there.
I wouldn't really want to use that because the era is completely different.
Mm.
The timing of the Club World Cup is also a thorn in the flesh because it's immediately when the season finishes. And we have the Champions League to compete on, which is another biggest assignment for the club. And I wouldn't want to blame anyone for the decisions. And I'm saying this purely because whenever something happens to me, I always reflect and turn it back towards me.
Mm.
And I look at myself in my house. And I know in my house I take decisions. And some of those decisions are right, some of those decisions are wrong. But it's always better when you're a leader and you don't take decisions. You ultimately become a procrastinator. And then you always say, I could have, I should have. And that usually does not help. But at least when you take a decision and you die with it, it is, you always have peace in your heart that I've taken a decision. As to whether that decision is right or wrong, time is always the best judge. But you must take a decision as a leader. And that one, for me, it's something that I excuse the board of the club and everybody else who took a decision, because if you were to put me in a position where a decision has to be taken, I would also take a decision. But I don't know whether that decision would be to fire the coach or to do what, but when you feel something must be done as a leader and you are putting your investment and your and everything into that environment, you have to be proactive. And that's one of the most important principles of leadership. You must be proactive and take a decision before you feel sorry about not having taken a decision.
I mean, I remember, and you probably do as well, that one of the major points that Sundowns always stressed from day one under the Motsepe leadership is the fact that they want to develop South African coaches. They want Sundowns to dominate the African continent, but more importantly, it was about South African coaches, of which we've had. So when you move away from that and you talk about, I'm glad you mentioned it, the Club World Cup being around the corner, does a Manqoba Mngxitha not deserve to go there based on his current standing in the league? That is still a long way to go. Or does that become immaterial because the previous coach who got fired, you were about to make history together by being, you know, the first team to go the entire season without losing a game. So there are different factors that come in, and I would really love your opinion about that when we come back from the break. Manqoba Mngxitha, my guest.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
BBK, thank you so much for your time. I know we don't want anybody to get fired, hey?
I thought you were giving me my own breaking news.
Where and how did you hear about what was rumbling in Tlokop?
Augusto Palacios, when he tells you about something and he says, this is me here, my friend. You know, hearing resources. Other people break stories, some people break stories as well. I can say this morning it was my turn to do so. From the moment that Rulani left the club abruptly during the off-season, there were several candidates that Sundowns was looking at. And curiously, if you recall, those with elephant memories will recall that Sundowns never actually went out to say Manqoba Mngxitha has been appointed the head coach. The statement, and I put it in the story this morning, said that Coach Manqoba will continue at the technical team.
Shots fired. Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW. Wednesday nights. Soccer nights. Your nights.
Good evening, Robert. Mashehodas. Never die till we. I'd like to ask Coach Manqoba Mngxitha, Uthi, did he give his best or his best was yet to come for Sundowns? Thank you.
A great evening to MSW shareholders and you, Darob. Coach, how are you, sir? How are you feeling after everything has just transpired in your path at Mamelodi Sundowns? But were there any contact or anything from Kaizer Chiefs hierarchy at the beginning of the season? Were you interested to take Kaizer Chiefs forward, or what was it from your side? Coach, you've done absolutely well to Mamelodi Sundowns. We thank you. I'm a Kaizer Chiefs fan, but we thank you. You laid out a good foundation there. And even though you overstayed, but what you've done there, your footprint speaks for itself. You're a top coach. Hope you'll get a good team in no time, because there are teams with no coaches like Golden Arrows, Richards Bay. Perhaps even Kaizer Chiefs can contact you sooner or later. But good luck with your future endeavor, coach. Take care. We love you, Mangoba. Don't give up after this.
Hi, Rob. This is Mtusi Mayapa from Pretoria. Hi to Coach Nliti. I just want to know, did you ever think that at any point in the season that his job was under threat, the Magezi game, or is he just as shocked as the rest of us? Thank you.
Good evening, Rob. Tutuzelo here in Cape Town. It was so sad seeing Umkhaya being sacked at Klokop. Yeah, he must just chin up. He's a good coach. We know him. Very, very strong and good coach. He's going to go and get another job somewhere else. It's fine. Klokop is just a past now. He must focus on himself, on getting another job and do what he does best, because we know he's a good coach. Thank you, Rob. Sawubona Mkhaya. Ngiyathemba uyaphila, Babu Manqoba.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to Coach Manqoba. Quick one, Rob. I would like to know from the coach, did he get a sense that something was brewing, considering that the sporting director brought in head of academy by the same surname, Okadoso, just under a year ago, or 6 months, I stand to be corrected, and also losing to Magesi and Polokwane City, with due respect to the two teams from Limpopo? Did he kind of feel that those are less resourced teams, considering the investment that has been made at Sundowns? And worst of all, from where I'm sitting, is drawing with the less fancy Champions League side from the DRC, playing a draw. That team is not regarded as a superpower in the continent. To a certain extent, does he feel he was hard done by? Chico Emden.
All right, thank you so much. Plenty of voice notes coming through. We'll try and whittle through them and get the answers from our guest tonight. The former coach of Mamelodi Sundowns, Mangoba Mliti, is our guest. We're also live on the YouTube channel. You can post any question or comment on that platform as well. Maybe, coach, let me start with that last one from Uchiko Mdeni. Just saying that, did he have a sense of it when there was a similar surname that was appointed last year? He didn't have a correct account of when that appointment was made. And maybe let me just add on to his question. You hinted on it before the break, and you said when you were called in at a certain time, you knew then that your time with the team would be basically up. When was that? Are you able to give a time period of when you would have been directly, as they call it, sacked from Sundowns?
I wouldn't want to comment about things that I'm not sure of.
Sure.
Because I don't want to be subjective. I always prefer to say what I think is factual. Losing against Magesi also hurt my feelings, because I believe we played very well on the day. But on the other side, I also know these teams that the biggest mistake you can make in football is to not respect any opponent. And I'm hearing people talking about this thing of Magesi, Maniema, and Polokwane City. And maybe let me start with Magesi. I think we did everything that we could have done in that match. Unfortunately, there were some areas that you would question on the day, decision-making, and that was probably the main thing that made us to lose the match, because I believe there were many opportunities that were just short of that final pass, that final decision, instead of shooting, just to pass to your teammate who is next to you. And jokingly, I even said, hey, this 100,000 rands is killing us, man, because everybody now thinks he must play for that kind of money. Because I think on that day there were many selfish decisions in and around the box, but the team played very well. The team dominated almost all the metrics of the game. But unfortunately, those few moments in the final third did not come our way. And on games like those, sometimes I always say, such games are ordained by God. The universe is the one that decides such matches, because sometimes these unfancied, unpopular, and lower division teams, and times smaller teams, just get that, more especially in games where there is an underdog. Mm-hmm. An underdog will always be favored by the universe. And that happens regularly in football. In the universe will always say, if you win as a big team, so what? But if a small team can beat a big team, that's what is expected. And that's what the universe would appreciate. And that game for me, I made peace with it, because I think we could not have won it. Even if we got an extra 30 minutes, maybe we would not have won it. Mm. Then the Polokwane City game, I think people must respect teams and look at football very closely. Very closely, because I said this about that Polokwane team very early. You know, those teams are teams that are troublesome. Mm. And if you can check our record against Polokwane City as Sundowns over the years, you will realize, no man, we've not had a lot of joy against that team. And usually in decisive moments where you want to win the league, Polokwane City comes, or Baroka comes. And we've had a lot of those moments. I even remember during the bubble, the league was wide open and we had a chance to win it at that time. And we're playing Baroka, and a defender that has never scored a goal, Jabart, who was a left back, scored with a header in the near post. Hey, we were all surprised. Unfortunately, we also got our own header. Where did it come from? From the shortest player, Umkhulisi, and we ended up surviving in that match. But the truth is, the Maniema team, and I this is a word of caution, the Maniema team is not as weak as people think. We made them to look very weak because we performed very well against them, but that is not a weak team. It's a new team on the block. We played them in the preliminary rounds, I think in 2022, if not 23, and they were still coming up. For them to be even runners-up in DRC, where there is a Lupopo, where there is a Mazembe, obviously, where there is a Vita, for them to come as runners-up in that league, it says something. And they must never be taken for granted. For them to come back and make it 1-1 against Raja was not a child's play. And this group, people must not disrespect teams and look at, hey, Zamalek used to be like this, Al Ahly and what. There are new teams in Africa that are really doing well, that are really recruiting very well. And if we don't have respect, we will be pleasantly surprised.
On the issue of Kaizer Chiefs, is that something that you've dealt with? Is that something you want to place on record once and for all, pre them appointing a coach, whether there was a close affinity towards
going there? There was never any discussions I had with Kaizer Chiefs before. And I hear people saying that I did not want to take the job and all that. Is not true. There was never anything that came. It was always rumors that never led to anything.
So no formal approach.
There was never any formal approach.
Sure. The other question that I think is important is going to come not from me, but from Tepiso in Midrand. Good evening, Tepiso.
How are you doing, Robbie?
I'm good, man. Coach is here. Go ahead.
Coach, how are you?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Coach, I want to ask you a question with regards to the senior players. And we understand that obviously we've been at the club for quite some time and we've seen the fringe players, we've seen players not given a chance and stuff like that. In the beginning of the season, was there something brewing between you and the senior players like Tebogo Mokoena and Kuluse Mudau and the likes? Or did you want to give other players a chance to prove themselves and for you to develop your own team? Or was it the disrespect that they showed you at some press conferences where they were laughing at some of the stuff that you have said during the same interviews. And secondly, I want to ask you on a lighter note. I understand my previous coach was there at Robert Studio, and he was saying that the kids are crying, the babies are crying, the women are crying, everybody's crying. Did anybody cry, coach, when you left, or did you leave peacefully? Thank you.
Bye-bye, Zippies. Very light note. Did anybody cry, though? Let's start on the light note.
I don't give people a chance to cry in front of me. I prefer to just move away swiftly so that I don't get attached to the emotions of the individuals.
Any players reached out?
Obviously, there will be players that reach out, and a lot of players, and a lot of senior players for that matter.
Mm.
Maybe one or two youngsters, but most senior players have reached out. And but I always want not to be somebody who pours negativity in anything, because decisions in life have to be taken.
Yeah.
And we must be matured enough to accept those decisions, because we will never know which is the right or wrong decision up until that decision has been given time. And for ours is to respect and remember that that decision was once taken for you at some point.
Mm.
And I liked one principal that I worked with when I was still a teacher. He once said to me, when somebody comes to you to complain, why did I fail? You must ask him, why didn't you ask me, why did you pass the last time you passed? And that, for me, was very profound. Because when now I'm going to say, why am I fired? Did I ask that question when I got the job, that, hey, why are you choosing me instead of others? You know. So when you appreciated getting the job without any questions, and when you lose it, you must lose it again without any questions, because somebody must make a decision. And in life, it's like that. And if we don't allow people to take decisions, we are unfair, because the same decisions have been taken for you. When the decisions are taken against you, accept it and chin up and move on with your life. Because the honest truth is, in football, as a coach, you know what to expect. From the time you get the job, you know, yeah, one day you can lose this job. That's why you have to do the best you can whenever you get the opportunity. And going back to the first question of the senior players, I'm one person who does not want to hang my dirty linen in public. And solely for good reasons that these are other people's kids, and they still have a future in football.
Mm.
And the moment I say negative things about players in a public domain, I'm being unfair, because then people will use that against some players. And if somebody has done me something wrong, it's better if I deal with it and solve it one against one. And once it's solved, I moved on. And once somebody has realized his mistake and apologized, sometimes I also move on. So I wouldn't really want to dwell into those issues, because I think I will be affecting the careers of these young kids. And these boys are our kids. We have a responsibility to them as the seniors.
But did they apologize to you?
There are players that made mistakes and apologized. Mm. And when they apologized, I accepted.
But you still stick and you still feel very strongly about the decision that you took on both Mudau and Mokoena.
It's those decisions. Mm. You know those decisions. But the sad part in our society is that very few people still remember that those players are the players that I gave an opportunity first. They played the first three games of the season against Polokwane City and the two games against Stellenbosch, which was a sign of my confidence in them. And when I took a decision, I'm proud of the decision I took, because...
So the decision was on the back of those three games?
After those three games, yeah.
So on the back of those three games, based on maybe what you read as their application or non-application on the field?
I wouldn't want to comment on that as to why I took those decisions. Yeah. But I must be honest with you, I'm very happy with those decisions because I think after that, the situation became very good for the team and for everybody else around the club.
Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
BBK, thank you so much for your time. So if there was some wrong that a Mangoba Mngethi would have done, and I am talking about a wrong thus far, the journey says that they are top of the table, they are defending champions. Yes, they have not won the MTN 8. Yes, they have not won the Carling knockout, knocked out the way that they were knocked out. But in terms of the bigger picture, was the bigger picture here BBK being lost?
I want to say, if you look at it from the fact that Pirates are second on the log, joint with Sundowns, Sundowns being top by virtue of goal difference, both having played 8 matches, both having won 7, both having lost 1, you will think that there is nothing much to worry about. My sense, he got the job not really because they wanted him. I think that he was a stopgap from the very beginning. I think that they were always looking.
Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.
Good evening, Rob, and your guest, Mangoba Mngethi. It's Musiwa here from Witbank. Ne? I just want to say to Mangoba, pick up, man. I think Sundowns, they were very unfair to you. Because if I can check the game, especially the game that you lost, the cup final that you lost against Magezi, Sundowns players, they shouldn't have even traveled to play Bafana Bafana. Because they qualified before they played the last two games. And then Sundowns, they were playing a crucial game on Saturday. So I think Sundowns, they were very, very unfair. Yes, I can put the blame on him for the game against Polokwane City that they lost. The shorted goal, I mean, Sundowns, they played poorly. I don't know why Sundowns, they're not... because since Mutsipe bought Sundowns, Sundowns have achieved with a foreign coach. So Mangoba, he must just keep calm. I know you're going to get another offer soon.
Good evening, Darov, and to Coach Mangoba and to the MSW shareholders. Quick question to Coach Mangoba, Darov. Any chance of him going back to Golden Arrows, considering that Coach Maputi Kanyeza resigned at Golden Arrows? Is there any chance of reunion between him and his former employers there by Lamontville? Thanks, Darov.
Hi, Rob. Over again here from Soweto. Well, I'd like to say to Coach Mangoba, to say to him that I think it was time for him to move on. I mean, like he alluded earlier on, that he's been at Mamelodi Sundowns for almost 12 years, you know. So I think it was a sort of like a blessing in disguise to say, you know, to say that, you know, I think it's time to move on, you know, go for greener pastures, you know. I mean, at some point, I thought he was going to coach Chiefs, you know. I mean, there are teams that are coachless at the current juncture, which happen to be Golden Arrows as well as Richards Bay, you know. I think it's time. It's kaso ukuthi ubuye ekhaya, baba. Yeah, yokhuluma abafana lenzansi lekhaya. Yeah. No, but I mean, he's a top quality coach, you know, no doubt about it. So I'd like to say to him, good luck, you know, on his future endeavors.
Hi, Rob. Thank you, Rob. This is Tom Nyati from Edenville. Greetings to you and greetings to Coach Mangoba. Greetings to everyone at MSW. Rob, I predicted this on Monday, on Reaction Monday. If you remember well, I said I don't see Mangoba lasting the whole season at Mamelodi Sundowns. According to me, there were signs. There were signs already. The addition of Falls, it told me something. So my two questions to him is, I know when you leave a team, you don't burn bridges. He's a professional coach. He always tries to be diplomatic and everything. But I know deep down, there are things which he cannot say on air. But my two questions to him is, Coach Mangoba, did you see this coming? Your sacking, did you see it coming? And what picture did it give you when you heard that you were being relieved of your duties? I understand how painful it is, but as professional as you are, Coach, I believe you can answer this one. And the second part of my question is, when they relieved Roland of his duties, it's almost in similar fashion with yours. Is there a sting going around at Mamelodi Sundowns whereby long-serving coaches are not wanted there. I believe you cannot burn bridges, but there's something cooking there inside the pot at Mamelodi Sundowns.
Right, something is cooking. Something is cooking on the YouTube channel. I can tell you that much. Please plug in any questions or comments right there. You can keep viewing. I'll tell you all about a little... Guys, listen. There's a lot to unpack. There's a lot to unpack, and you understand that time is never on our side. I even want to deal with the rumors of extreme tribalism that we had even heard coming through about the team and what's happening within as well. So all of those and a whole lot more. We've had a quick conversation off air with the team here on MSW. I know that everybody's looking forward to a wonderful holiday and so on, but the guys said, you know what? They'll tell their dates that they'll be arriving a little bit late. So we'll push on for another hour on the YouTube channel. So if you want to continue with this conversation after 7 o'clock, please do that. The coach has agreed. Maybe let's put it on record, because maybe it's just rumors, like rumors were circulating about whether or not you're going to be fired. You're willing to go for another hour, coach?
No problem, Rob. You must be answerable when the time comes. You must not run away. So it's important that people know my perspective, because I even heard the last speaker there saying the club bringing Romain Falls was sinister, and it's so wrong, you know. But our society has gotten into this situation of listening to rumors.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our social media platforms and all that have made our society to rely so much on stories that do not have facts.
Romain Falls was your decision?
I brought him. And I believe it's the best decision I also took. He's a very good coach. And believe me, if I get an opportunity, I would always want to work with him, because I know what value he adds.
Yeah.
And for me, he is just one of those young, very, very detailed coaches and a very good human being. With no mentality that he's from Europe, he's better than everyone. Maybe because he also has some roots in Morocco.
Yes.
Maybe that also makes him to be more African in his perspective of life.
Why do you think he's so misunderstood, though? Why do you think so many people don't believe in what Coach Romain Falls brings to the table?
Because we don't dig deeper. And get to understand the person and his level of understanding of the game, and interrogate the person and get to know who this guy is. And I would love if you can bring him to the studio, and
sure,
everybody who's got doubts about his capacity, I'm sure people will be blown away, because I really believe he's a very good coach. But he looks young, he looks like inexperienced and all that, because in South Africa, we must remember, we're coming from an era of Shaka Zulu and all that. So you must be a giant first, and you must make noise. You know, howlers in South Africa get more respected than people who are principled and detailed. If you make noise, that's why we choose you sometimes to be a councillor, because you are the one who talks the most in those community meetings. But it's not like you are intelligent enough. Mm. It's just that when you are vocal and you can fight us, and maybe if we disagree with you, you can even shoot us. So we end up saying, hey, let's give him this position. But detailed people are very few. And when you get one, you must appreciate.
I'm jumping the gun, I know. I'm going to come back to some of the questions that were asked. Samuel in Joburg South, I see you. I'm going to come to you in a second. While we talk about this, so that we don't have to come back to it, that both you and Romain Falls obviously get fired at the same time. And there are, as people are saying, vacancies within Richards Bay, and potentially what is happening at Golden Arrows with the purported resignation there of the coach. In your next assignment, would Romain Falls be your assistant coach?
If he wants to work with me, he will definitely be with me, because I believe he's that coach that I need next to me.
Have you even had a conversation about the next stop? Does a Richards Bay become a consideration?
Any club that makes an approach, you listen.
Yeah.
And hear what they bring. If the project is interesting and you see that they know what they really want, then you look at it very closely. But I will always be open to assisting Golden Arrows in my life, because I still feel indebted to that club, because that club made me the person that I am. They gave me an opportunity at a time where no team in South Africa could take that risk. You know, when a team is number zero on the log, number 16 on the log, and they only have 12 points after 15 matches, and they say, we want Mangoba to become the coach, not even an interim coach, to become the head coach of the club because we believe he can save us. Mm. And that confidence is something that I will forever be indebted to, because nobody would ever give away 50 million rand status to a coach that has never coached in the PSL. I had been an assistant probably for 1.5 years, and they gave me that opportunity. And that, for me, I will always be indebted to them, and I will always want to help whenever that possibility comes. But I will have to listen to the projects that come in front of me.
And they haven't approached you yet?
No, I wouldn't want to disclose what's happening now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But your phone's been ringing.
There's no way it can't ring.
Samuel in Joburg, good evening.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm good, Sam. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Coach Mangoba, how are you?
I'm good, my brother. How are you?
I'm very well. I've been the Sundowns fan all my life. I just wanted to say thank you for your contribution. You contributed so much happiness in our homes when we've seen you lifting so many trophies. You are the one of the best coaches in South Africa, and I'm quite sad that you are leaving. But our memories, some of us will remember that you are one of the people who brought the Champions League. You beat Al Ahly home and away. You just beat Kaizer Chiefs 4-0 right now. There are a lot of memories that you've created for us, and it's really, really sad. And again, I don't think this really makes sense, simply because you were part of the coaches who contributed last year with Coach Rulani. You broke in so many records. We still don't understand what's really going on. But the other thing is that we are certain, because it's just Club World Cup right now coming through. And the other thing is that each and every team, all the big teams, they start very slow. I do not know why Sundowns did this thing. Coach Spitzo used to start this slow. Al Ahly starts very slow.
Let me push you, Sam. Let me push you for a question. Are you running out of time?
Yeah. No, it's not a question. Just a comment that we really appreciate your contribution in Sundowns. And all the best. Hope your family is giving you the support that you need. Hopefully, you'll get another team that you'll still contribute to South African football. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Samuel. Thank you very much indeed. And I'm sure, Coach, you appreciate those kind of sentiments that come through from people saying, I don't have a question, I just want to appreciate you.
You know, Rob, when it comes to the Mamelodi Sundowns supporters, I also have so much gratitude to those supporters, because these people have supported me. There were serious trying times where I could consider even leaving the club. Not because the management had done anything wrong, but because there were some circumstances within the club that would have forced me to say, let me go and lead my team somewhere. But I've had so much support and warmth from the president of the club, the chairman, the board, the supporters, and everybody in the club, including the staff. Sundowns has been very good to me, and I would never want to say anything unbecoming about that club, because that club has changed my life. And to work in a club like Sundowns for almost 12 years is not a joke. And to the contribution they made in my life, it's immense. And I've been in football now, professional football, probably for the past 23 years. And those 23 years, Sundowns has got 11, close to 12 years. And that, for me, is very big. And I'm so thankful to all the supporters and everybody at Sundowns, because they've been a warm home for me. Yeah. And I found a lot of love in a province that is not mine. And I felt so much love. And even this issue of tribalism and all that, I always see it as hogwash. Because
let's deal with it in the extra hour, Coach. We got to wrap it up here on this platform and the various platforms that are tuning in right now. You said you didn't know how many trophies you had won. I did a quick calculation since you joined in 2014. You've won 17 trophies at Sundowns since you joined. 9 league, 3 Nedbank, 2 Telkom Knockout, 1 MTN 8, 1 CAF Champions League, and 1 CAF Super Cup. If I've left anything out, maybe my mathematics is a problem. Thanks for the section, Coach. And remember, guys, tune into the YouTube channel. We are live right throughout. Tune in again tomorrow for Marawa Sports Worldwide, proudly brought to you by Hollywood Bets.
Marawa Sports Worldwide on 947, Fuma FM and Rise FM. Powered by Hollywood Bets. Hashtag MSW. Live now on 947, Fuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live. At the same time. Hashtag MSW. Previously on Marawa Sports Worldwide.
BBK, thank you so much for your time. I know we don't want anybody to get fired, hey?
I thought you were giving me my new play, my own breaking news.
Where and how did you hear about what was rumbling in Tlokop?
Augusto Palacios, when he tells you about something and he says, this is here, my friend. You know, hearing resources. Other people break stories, some people break stories as well. I guess this morning it was my turn to do so. From the moment that Rulani left the club abruptly during the offseason, there were several candidates that Sundowns was looking at. And curiously, if you recall, those with elephant memories will recall that Sundowns never actually went out to say Mangoba Mwiti has been appointed the head coach. The statement, and I put it in the story this morning, said that Coach Mangoba will continue at the technical team.
Shots fired. Hashtag MSW. Hashtag MSW.
It is hashtag MSW. Thank you so much indeed. I wave and I salute to all of you who are still tuned into the YouTube channel. Thank you very much indeed for keeping this conversation going. If it wasn't for you, we wouldn't be doing this. So please keep those questions coming through. I keep flicking through to see what you're asking. And I do relay those questions as well to the coach. If you're just joining us right now, it is Coach Mangoba Mngiti. He's the former coach of Mamelodi Sundowns. Big decision that was taken by Sundowns yesterday in terms of saying goodbye to him and bringing to the fore a new coach. So, talking about new coaches, talking about a new direction. Now, when there is an entire team of people, and I'm sure that they were there yesterday, Coach, and thank you again for indulging us with the extended time. It's a difficult one to put into words, though, because it means that behind the scenes, things were happening while you were trying to put a normal front for you, your technical team, and for the players. But in the back of your mind, you know that there's a Cardoso that's coming. In the back of your mind, you know that there's a Pedro Azevedo that's coming. There's a João Araújo that's coming. There's a Fabio Fernandes that is coming through to take your position and some of your technical team's position. How do you keep a firm, straight head knowing all of this?
I will be lying if I say I knew.
Yeah.
I will be lying if I say I knew. I just got a message from someone when I was going into a meeting yesterday with the leadership of the club. And somebody hinted that there was going to be an announcement.
Oh, so it was just business as normal yesterday for you?
No, yesterday, fortunately, we were off.
Yeah,
and we had to go and attend the meeting with the leadership, and that's when the whole story came out. But fortunately, somebody sent me a message just asking, "Is it true?" And then I started to know. Oh, this meeting that I'm going to is about this.
Oh,
but I cannot falter anyone for that, because probably when I got a job somewhere, somebody was still the coach, and the negotiations were going on behind. I think that's the name of the game, that's being proactive and in making sure that there is no gap in between. So I cannot now talk ill about that, because it's normal in football. It's normal in this type of business.
Help us understand something. There's a sporting director who's there. and who's been there for some time now with Mamelodi Sundowns, does he make the recruitment decisions at Sundowns?
I will be lying if I want to pin him down to be the only person who makes such decisions at the club, because the truth, the club is a very broad club with the analytics department, with the conditioning department, the sporting director's office, the coaches and the technical team, and all these analysts, performance, the physical, the what, there's so much that you can think of at the club. And the data analysts also play a very big role in these recruitments. And I wouldn't want to say Fleming alone has done this, because if I were to put things into perspective, because there's been this talk about players that were signed behind my back and what, which I don't think it's entirely true. Because as soon as I was given the position, I was made aware of the advancement that had taken place. And obviously, those advancements might have taken place with Rulani, because I was not the head coach at the time. And those advancements had taken place with maybe the other people at the time that were in leadership positions. And when I came in, I was given the information about all these players that were about to join, the Cody Sang, Atur Sales. I was made aware, and I also was given an opportunity to look at these players. Fortunately, I knew Cody Sang. I knew what he was capable of when he left the country. And Atur, I had to look at him, and I looked at him, and I believed he's a very good football player. And I still believe he's a good football player. But even then, I said, I don't think he's a good goal scorer, but I think he's a good football player.
Who could play virtually for any team, not necessarily Sundowns?
He can play even for Sundowns. He can play for Sundowns, but this adaptation process will always take longer. His history, when you look at his stats, he does not have too many goals. Yeah. He does have maybe 10 goals, 11 goals, and that's the average. And that you would not say, this is what could be your top goal scorer, but he's a good football player, and he's got a lot of assists in his data analysis. And that means he's a valuable player that can add value. And already, even now, when people are having so much to say against him, but already I think he's got maybe 3, if not 4 assists. And those were very good assists. And for me, I wouldn't want to come out of this platform with that saying that, no, I did not know anything, because I'll be lying.
Yeah.
And I don't want to lie. Yes, this initiative took place before me. And when I got the opportunity, the only player that I personally requested from the club was Ikram. That one is the player that I personally requested and pushed. Fortunately, I got the support of a lot of people within the club. And that's why it happened. And I appreciate that.
So if there's a person like Arthur Sales, who we'd all imagine are very costly players, you know, in totality that amount to hundreds of millions of rands that come through from outside of South Africa, on whose eye would he have been caught? Whose eye would he have attracted to say, yes, Arthur Sales, we think he needs to sign up for Mamelodi Sundowns, for example?
I think that would be... It's a pity I've never spoken to Coach Rulani about this because he was already gone, and I'm not the person who wants to ask these questions to somebody who just lost the job. I know Fleming was involved. I know the assistant sporting director, Ryan Hunt, was involved. I know nothing would happen in the club without the approval of the leadership and the board. And there's a whole lot of people that are involved in that space. And I want to believe all those people that were supposed to be involved were involved.
So he comes to you as a package that is an option for you to use, not necessarily somebody now that you say, okay, Ikram Reyners, we know his ability at, you know, Stellenbosch and in SuperSport United, then back to Stellenbosch and into Sundowns. Now, you know exactly why you want him. So, another Salas would be a different proposition for you.
I do not even want to dwell much on this one, because the most important thing is that I don't want to come out of this platform with a lie that I did not know about him prior to him coming. I knew about him before he even came and joined us in Austria, because I was made aware from the beginning that this player is coming. We are at an advanced stage with him. Have a look and say whatever you think. And I had a look and I said, no, I also think he's a good player.
Mm. I think in the end, just to end this particular segment of the conversation regarding who's in charge of what, is really to say a sporting director comes in with the main job of doing what, in your understanding? Because at times it would seem that decisions that have been made outside of your approval, for example, or your knowledge or your request, end up being the ones that bite you, and you get to lose your job, the other person continues with their job.
I wouldn't want to even blame it on the players brought in that I did not bring, because I wouldn't want to attribute me losing the job because of a player. Because honestly speaking, the players that I had, Ikram that I brought, has really, really repaid that faith and confidence that I had in him. And I'm very grateful for what he's doing for the club, because I believed he is the addition that we needed. Because at the time when we brought Ikram, at that time we thought we had enough strikers.
Mm.
But I still insisted. I said, no. I think this one is going to be very important, because I knew what he would bring to the club. And I think he still has a lot to provide the club.
Especially because your top striker was going through a bit of a dip as well. So the return of goals wasn't there. Help me understand what a DPS model is. Because I think that was used in the press conference yesterday to say that there's a reliance, maybe it's a GPS or DPS, I don't know what the terminology is, but if you do know, please help us understand, because then it also plugs a lot of gaps of what we don't understand.
The GPS model, what role does it play in what?
Just in terms of the key decisions that have to be made. So in the analytics, when they start to look at performance of players, when they start to look at the performance of who you give game time to. So in listening to the director yesterday, that was mentioned maybe several times in terms of it being a form of a factor in a decision. Are you aware of this? Is that something you get, I'm going to use exam lingo, do you get marked and ticked based on that type of GPS performance?
I wouldn't really want to dwell much on that, because in recruiting a player, you have to look at different metrics.
Mm.
And you tick boxes based on those metrics. Because one, we at Sundowns, we use Wimo, for instance, which is our GPS system that will track the movements of the players, and from that, you will get the physical data.
Right.
That when this player plays, he normally covers so much distance, so many high-speed runs, so many sprints, so many accelerations. And that information helps you to know the physical output of the player. Then there's going to be a data analysis now, the performance data analysis, that now tells you this player, how many times he makes box entries, he makes assists, he takes shots at goals, his secondary assists, and his contribution performance-wise.
Mm.
And then when you look at this data now, because of the metrics that you put in of what you want, because if you want a defender, then you'll say one against one, duels, what happens? Aerial duels, what happens? Passing range, what happens? How many box entries do you make from his passes? And all these smaller yana things, depending on what you put. Because data we speak so highly about. But the truth, data will always give you stories about what you want. It sometimes does not give you the personality of an individual, which is why I will always vouch for players to be looked at in terms of data and everything, shortlisted in terms of what they will provide performance-wise, how much output do they give you physically in a match. Once you've got that information of 5-6 players, for instance, then you go and look at these players and try to talk to them and hear from the people that work with them, because the personality of the player is probably the most important.
Which falls outside of that data analysis.
You can't get it there.
So it almost becomes like a support system for a preconceived notion of what you want to get out.
Yes.
So it almost supports a narrative of some sort that you wanted to go here. So this is the reason why we're going to be going here. And then you list all of those things.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. No, appreciate that. Let me go to David in Parkwood. David, good evening.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa. Good evening to the coach. Coach, firstly, I would like to say I salute you. I respect you. You're one of my favorite coaches. And I would like to say job well done for introducing the likes of Lukaku and Skoza. Job well done. My question to you, coach, is what were your KPIs? Why I'm asking about your KPIs is that if your KPIs say that you have to win the league or maybe two competitions, don't you think that losing those two cups already might have triggered them to suggest that two competitions have already gone? And lastly, coach, is with regard to your squad rotation, don't you think some might have perceived that you didn't take certain matches seriously? Thank you.
All right, David in Parkwood, thank you very much indeed. Two key questions, the rotation one, I think we touched on it very lightly earlier on, but also the KPIs.
Now, the KPIs at Sundowns is always to win every trophy on offer. It's always like that. But the last time I saw a coach winning every trophy at Sundowns, locally, I won all the three at that time, which was the League, the Nedbank Cup, and the M10-8. Pizzo also won the Telkom Cup, the Nedbank Cup, and the Champions League, I think. And Coach Ulane won the league and the AFL. So in as much as the desire is to win all these trophies, I'm just trying to say we've always had case studies where these trophies have always eluded us. And for whatever reason, and can you believe in my 11 years, possibly 12 seasons at Sundowns, we've only won MTN8 once. And that... You ask yourself, why this trophy is always running away from us? But I'm also very happy that I happen to be that person who brought it to Klerkop, because it is one trophy that has been very difficult for the club. But the other truth is that at Sundowns, you are expected to do well and win the league, because that is what takes you to the Champions League. And you are also expected to win the Champions League. And that... there is no compromise there. And it has been like that for all these years. And we won it in 2016. And that is the only one. And it's a very strange one, even that one, because we were out of the Champions League, out of the Confederations Cup. But because when God ordains something to you, we were brought back and we did well. And yeah. Coach Pizzo leading the team, we won the Champions League. And we are still excited to have won it. But if you were to look at what happened then, you say, hey, really, really, this was very difficult. We lost to a team that we did not even know their name before the tournament. And from Ghana in the Confederations Cup, it was called Mediama.
Yes.
Hey, that team created problems for us. But we still won the league. We still won the Champions League and beat one of the biggest teams in Africa, Zamalek. And we are still proud that we achieved that.
I think you apply the same mentality as what you applied earlier on when describing Makesi and the divine nature of a victory. It also applies there. I'll come back to a question that obviously leans towards the Champions League and whether, you know, Sundowns would have been equipped like an Al Ahly to be serial CAF Champions League winners, because something has to happen within a team for them to be able to win it on so many occasions. Let me go to Pimville. Pimville, Taban, good evening.
Evening, Tarop, and evening to the coach there.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for your patience.
Yes. I once heard the coach somewhere doing, I don't know whether it's your show or what, but I once heard the coach saying that one day we would love to go to KZN and probably coach a team in KZN and probably win a league. So what I'm trying to say to your coach, there are two teams there which need a coach. And since, well, you wanted to win a league, I think this is an opportunity. Because if I remember, the other team, they had intentions of looking for a good coach and they were willing to spend. And so I say those other teams, they do look like an interesting project because of I've been seeing this other one. I think they have good attacking players. So there's something to work on there. And I think, coach, you did a good job there. It's unfortunate it had to come to this, but overall, coach, from your days at Golden Arrows, and I would like to applaud you. You have always been professional, coach, on many occasions. You do seem, and you also look like someone who's really respects the game and respects everyone. And I wish you all the best going forward. But I think those two teams are a potential coach for your ambitions.
Thabang, thank you very much indeed. Are they?
Any team that comes with a good project,
yeah,
is a good potential for a coach. Because as coaches, we want to work. Because this is it's what we live on. Two, we also want to work in environments that we think can really make you achieve some of these interesting goals. I wanted to win a trophy with Golden Arrows when I joined Golden Arrows. And the players will tell you, I told them that the reason why I want us to get into the top eight is because I want us to maximize a chance of winning at least one trophy. And we achieved that. And Rangers won the league. Santos won the league.
Sure.
The list is endless of teams that have done exceptionally well in winning the league. It's just how much focus to these small details you put, regardless of how big or small the team is. Because this thing of this team is big, this team is small, I've looked at so many teams in the PSL. And when I look at the material, player pound for pound, right back of this team and right back of that team, left back of this team versus the left back of that team. And I say, the difference is so minute. That is why the PSL has got such surprising results, and that is why the PSL is becoming so interesting. Because when you look at a Polokwane City, for instance, you look at a Stellenbosch, you look at a team like a TS Galaxy, they may be where they are now, but believe me, they can still pull serious surprises. Golden Arrows, AmaZulu, the margins are very slim. It's just who recruits well and who understands exactly what he needs to gather in the shop window. And there are small teams that I think are smarter than even big teams.
Sure. I would agree with that because we've seen it. The fact that the Oswin Apollos of this world are wanted by so many teams, the fact that he is a mainstay player now within Bafana Bafana says a lot about him. I'm going to dip into some of the YouTube comments as well. And guys, again, thank you so much indeed for being a part of the journey. We're going to be with you until the top of the hour. We've got Ulukoni, Die Boy, was saying that he must be very proud of winning the MTN 8 once in 12 seasons with Sundowns, and he respects the MTN 8 trophy, unlike Pizzo, who talked pretty bad since the matches. Jose Rivera won MTN 8 twice in the season. Which player can you sign for Golden Arrows is another question that came through. Lots of other debates that are going on there. Hey, personal wars that are happening here on this platform. What about, maybe let's get this out of the way. You're a straight talker. A lot of this issue about attitude, saying that maybe it was a Manqoba Mnqithi attitude that lost him his job. Do you believe that there's a certain attitude or maybe demeanor that you carry that people don't understand and maybe read it wrongly now that you are appointed as the head coach of Sundowns? You've seen this. You've heard people talk about it. What's your take about the whole Mangoba's attitude?
I get so surprised when I see something like that. Sometimes in life you don't know how you carry yourself. Because personally, when I look at myself and how I relate to people and how I deal with people, I believe I'm a very easy, humble human being. I've never thought I'm arrogant. But I also know that I'm assertive. I know that I speak my mind. I'm not somebody who will not say what he thinks, because that is just me, and it's not gonna change because I want to try and sugarcoat something and end up lying to you. I'm not that kind of a person. Yes, maybe the manner of approach. I think I'm very polite. I'm not somebody who will shout at people and make noise. And I get surprised, honestly, and I'm not lying to you, when I hear this thing of attitude, because everybody that I've had an interaction with probably would give you a completely different view to that.
One of the things that I picked up was maybe the comments that had been made, let's say, initially with Hugo Broos, for example, about, you know, him focusing on Bafana and you don't tell him what to do when he uses eight defenders and so on. Starting from that, and I'm glad in the end, you mentioned that you had a meeting with Hugo Broos, which ultimately settled everything afterwards. But do you think that a lot of misreading and misunderstanding was brought into that, those comments of what Hugo Broos had said about, you know, you not playing Mudau, you not playing Mukwena?
No, on that one, I'm so sorry, Rob, because those are the principles that I live with. And I can never tell any coach in his club which player to use and which player not to use. If I'm the national team coach, which I hope one day I will ever get that job, I will always speak to the coach of that club. Because I always believe it works out better when there is a relationship between the coach of a club and the coach of the national team, because they can help each other. Because both of them have got a certain form of influence towards the player. And when the coach approaches me and says, why? Because I just want to know, because hey, this is affecting my plans. I need this player for the national team. Mm. And I give him an answer. Because the truth is, as a coach, you have to take a decision. That is your livelihood. It's your job. You want to make sure that you win the match at the end of the day, because you will be chased for not winning the match. Mm-hmm. Let me give you an example. When Hugo goes, where was he going? Was it South Sudan or Uganda?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think it was Uganda. I think it was South Sudan. And this boy from Stellenbosch was left behind, Jaden Adams. And I love the boy. I believe he's such a good football player.
Mm-hmm.
But when the coach leaves him behind,
for disciplinary reasons,
I don't even know what the reasons are. I say, what happened here? Then I start to ask myself, is it disciplinary issues or what?
Mm-hmm.
And when something like that pops up, as a coach, you should ask, Norman, this player should be playing and this player has been playing. Why is he not playing? That with just that conversation, maybe you will even ask that coach to say, you know, can you also speak to him? Because of A, B, C, D, and E, we are uncomfortable to play him. And maybe with your talk, he might understand that it's not personal, it's business. And then he will come right. And we had a very nice discussion with Hugo. And after that, I think we understood each other. But the truth is, sometimes the positions that we get make us to lose the respect of others.
Mm-hmm.
And think we can just talk anyhow about a particular person and not understand that maybe that will hurt him. Sometimes I would do it, not because I've got that intent, but if I do it and somebody says, Mangoba, why are you saying this? And I realize I was wrong, I say I'm sorry. Because maybe I was not looking at it in that perspective. I was looking at it maybe trying to illustrate a point. You know?
But he understood. I mean, at the end of the one-on-one conversation, you guys were fine. He understood exactly why you had taken a coaching decision at Sundowns, which is not a coaching decision for Bafana Bafana.
No, he understood. And I think we are fine with Hugo. From that meeting, we don't have issues.
All right, 011-883-8947. That's the number to dial if you want to be part of the conversation. I know lots of questions and comments on the YouTube channel are going to be dipping in and out of those as the show goes on.
Yeah, good evening, my coach. And Bra Rob, you are a good human being, my coach. The way you speak, you are a good human being. As a Sundown supporter, I would like to pose a question. My question is, when those decisions were made, have we ever been asked to be part of the new technical team, maybe as an assistant or whatever capacity? Have you ever been consulted or just straight dismissal or sacked? Thank you so much. My name is Andres Barop, a big Sundown supporter. Thank you so much.
Andres, thank you so much indeed. Is there consultation when it comes to such decisions?
No, I think this decision was when it was taken, we had to accept the decision that was taken at the time. But we still have going to have some meetings with the leadership of the club because there are still so many other outstanding issues. But there was never that consideration initially. And I do not want to say they were wrong by not doing that, because maybe they also had to rush and make sure that they finalized the second chapter of the day, which was the announcement of the new technical team.
But I would imagine that there's still contractual obligations from the club to you.
No, that is still there, which is why I'm saying we still have some discussions to have.
And again, just to clear the air on this, Coach Mangoba, was there a contract recently signed?
Yes.
Between you and the club?
Yes, there was a contract.
And that would have been for what period? 5 years?
No, it was 4 years, but obviously with expectations each year.
Deliverables and option to renew and
add
an extra year. So when was that contract signed?
I think it was just before the season started.
The current season?
Yeah.
For the 4 years. Now, with a contract like that, do they then term it as not meeting some of those deliverables, and it becomes, how do things get handled? In part, you don't have to tell us numbers or anything like that, but in part, from a legal perspective, is that they deem it to then, you wouldn't have achieved a certain clause maybe of that contract. And then they say, okay, we then enforce the right to fire you. And by firing you, we then do what legally?
Rob, on that one, I wouldn't want to get into those details, because I think that is between my agent and the club, and I respect that space. It's important that I give them the latitude to make those decisions and maybe come to me with something that they have decided. But I'm not even worried about that issue at this stage, because the main issue for me is at least now I know where I am with the club. And then we have to look at those other deliberations between the agent and the management of the club. But it's not something I would really even want to get into.
The firing of a goalkeeper coach, do they explain to you how that happens?
Again, I would not want to talk about the other coaches as to what happened to them and all that, because I don't have the details. I will be lying if I say, I know Wendell was fired because of this. Romain was fired because of that. I will be lying. And I prefer not to talk about those things, because maybe I will be interfering in a space that does not need me.
But your continued relationship with Steve Khombela, you would describe it as what?
No. I regard him as my brother. We are close with Steve. I don't have any issues with Steve. And I just think it was the decision of the club to leave him behind. And Also, you must understand, the club has just brought him back. And if you bring somebody back who was having a job at Golden Arrows, and now you must go again, that for me would have been very unfair. And I commend the decision of the club in making sure that they're still human enough to understand that it's not easy that Steve would be out of Golden Arrows, come to Sundowns 3 months, 4 months later, you are back to the street. I don't think that would have been fair, and I don't have an issue with that, because I also don't think in these conspiracy theories that maybe Steve did something up behind my back and all that. I don't think that is true. I think people are just making up stories, because in South Africa we always want to create a reason for anything without asking. You know, I always say our biggest challenge in this country, we are happy to talk about you and to talk things that relate to you without talking to you
directly.
Because when you talk to the person direct, it kills everything. Look at the example that I gave you just now. The guy was talking for me, in support of me, and saying he does not even know why Coach Romain Folz was brought to Sundowns. And he's talking on my behalf.
About sinister reasons.
And suddenly when I say, no, I'm the one who brought him, and I'm the one who still believes he's a very good coach, and I still believe the time will tell what my story, because I do believe in future he will be one of the big coaches, maybe here or somewhere else, but I believe that.
Now that, you know, that door has shut for both of you, what was your relationship like with Rulani Mokoena?
No, Rulani joined us when we were working with Pizzo, and we were sharing the same office at the time, and we had a very good relationship. Then we moved into the new building, we got different offices. The relationship between me and Rulani, I would look at it as a big brother and a younger brother relationship, which for me is beyond just being coaches of the same club, because I would advise him when I feel, hey, this might not come out right, you must look at it this way. I've always treated him like that, and I've always been fair and honest to him. That relationship, I think it's at that level.
Obviously, given how unique the coaching situation was, so in a minute he would be one of the assistants and then one would be the head coach. I mean, you know how things worked out at the time. So when the roles reversed and he ascended into a head coach position, would you say that that relationship remained and maintained that cordial nature of big brother, smaller brother?
The only thing I can tell you about that is that he still respected me as his senior. There was never any issue in that regard where I would say I felt disrespected. I've never had that situation, because if I had that, whenever there's something I'm uncomfortable with, I'm that type of a guy. I go straight to you. I don't want, because you know the sympathizers, these people that say, hey, did you see how he talked to him and what? Those people are the ones that create fire. So I don't want to have sympathizers and gossipers. I go direct and say, I did not understand when you say this and that and that. And I've not had those situations with him.
Rob, just a question. Good evening to you and the coach. What type of roles or coaching jobs will it take now? Obviously, Sundowns is a big club. So I think there's a vacancy at Golden Arrows. I'm not sure if the coach is going to take leave, but in future, what type of teams will he most likely coach? Will it be big teams, national teams? Obviously, Sundowns is a big team, massive team. So yeah, I guess from that perspective of coaching Sundowns, what will he take on now? What type of roles and teams will he coach? Thanks.
I'll preemptively answer on your behalf about the project. If a project is good, what kind of project? Because reputationally, again, coach, correct me if I'm wrong, you'd want to maintain a certain level of respect and credibility based on where you've been at Klerkop. There have been some projects that maybe yourself, Steve, Gavin would have taken at Chipper United that might not have worked out the way that you'd have wanted them to work out, and maybe would have dented reputationally one or two things. So what kind of project? If I had to say Richards Bay are where you described Arrows to have been when Arrows gave you the job, Richards Bay are struggling in that position right now, are you in the mood or appetite to do a rescue mission, or are you in the mood at an Arrows to give them something that they lost had when you were the coach?
No, one, we must have gratitude in life, because sometimes we think we are entitled to something. Mm. And I've never thought I had an entitlement by being at Sundowns, because Sundowns picked me up when I was not working. I was not employed when Sundowns gave me that opportunity. And I happened to get into a club that had not won anything in 7 years, and then everything changed for the better. And one would say, when you joined Sundowns at that time, what was in your mind? Because they had not won anything, and they had some top players and what. But my mind was, it would be nice to be amongst the people that will bring this team back to its former glory. And that's what we did. And for me, that project made sense, because at the time it looked defunct to someone who was looking from outside, that for 7 years this club has not won anything. But in my mind, because I remember at that time, I had an approach from Chiefs prior to Sundowns. Mm. And I did my presentation at Chiefs and all that. And then suddenly Sundowns came when there was a slight delay at Chiefs. And when I took that opportunity, I did not even want to still check with Chiefs, hey, what is happening with you? Because I felt the project, because Chiefs was winning, Chiefs was okay. But I felt it would be nice to be part of this environment and try to, because part of me had this thing that, you know, we will end up losing good people in football, because I felt the president had invested a lot of money into Sundowns. And at some point, I'm sure you will remember, there was a team that was called AK, what?
FCAK.
FCAK, yeah. Where Mambush and them were in that team. And that team looked like they were serious and wanted to do something. But when they could not get the outcomes that they wanted, they pulled out. And the team lost maybe South Africa lost a potential of having a very stable team. And part of me was, I wanted to be part of this team, because I could see the investment was good. Maybe with a little bit of my own little bit of influence, I can help. And fortunately, with God's will, everything happened for the best. We achieved so much, and thanks to the club, thanks to Coach Pizzo, thanks to everybody that was within the club when all those things happened.
Yeah, FCAK, I mean, you take us back to the Aziz Gara era, when he was really trying to, as the guys say these days, cook something.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to the listeners. Look, the sacking of the coach, I think I saw it coming, you know. The team was blowing hot and cold. They were really inconsistent in how they were playing. Yes, you might say he won top of the log, and they scored the most number of goals, but the style of play for me was really questionable. And then losing to Magezi, I mean, really, for a club like Sundowns, you know, that spent so much money. I think this season alone, they spent over 200 million, you know, buying players. I think it's really unacceptable, you know. And yeah, I didn't have a lot of confidence going forward into the club World Cup, you know, looking at how this team is playing. They were just going there to add numbers. And then as for the new coach, I'm not sure about him too, because, I mean, his CV is not really, you know, glowing. He doesn't have, you know, trophies in his CV. And yeah, I was expecting someone else, you know, someone with at least, you know, Champions League pedigree, who has won the Champions League before, because that's the ambition. But anyway, good luck to you with the coach for his future plans.
But thank you so much indeed. Any response to that, coach?
No, man, it's a free country. Everybody is free to say whatever he wants to say, because when you say the team was blowing hot and cold, I don't think so. Because I think we started a little bit bad with because the game against Polokwane City, the first game that we played against Polokwane City, was very good. We were unfortunate not to take that game quickly. And the Stellenbosch games were pathetic, and I was not happy myself with them. And after those games, if you say hot and cold, I think the team played very well. And all the metrics that you would want to look at, we dominated almost every game. We scored goals. The number of goals we have scored now, and lost to Polokwane City. And again, if you look at the lineup of Polokwane City, that now that we lost to Polokwane City, people will blame the rotation and all that. But just to remind you, the lineup of that game. In that game, we had Grant and we had Musa and Roshin Deruk. We had Tiwane at left back. We had Tapelo at right back. We had Rivaldo Kutsie, Lebo Mabue, Marcelo Allende, Tashrik Matthews, Peter Shalulile, Mabena, and we brought in Teboho late in the game because of all the injuries we had. And we lost two big players in that match. We lost Mabena and we lost Tash. And I think the lineup of that game was very good to win that match. And unfortunately on the day, but because it's so nice when you're sitting at home in your couch and your team never gets to play the match, because when the game started and you look at the lineup, surely you believed this team can win the match. But when they don't win, because it was not your team, you move away and say, this rotation is killing us. But the truth of the matter is the team that we used on the day was, at any given stage, can beat Marques. Because even when Polokwane City, even when we played Polokwane City the next match, because we were coming from another match, I decided to change the team. And the team that I used there, maybe some people would say, this one is not going to do anything against Polokwane City. Because in that game, I think I played a very mobile midfield. I think Lebo Mabue was a 6. I played Mkhulisi, I played Neo Maema as the 2 8s. Up front, I had Sales, I had Kutlwano, I had Peter. I think I had Peter. And you look at that lineup, you say, what is it doing now? And that team gives you 2-0 against the same Polokwane City that, because we are armchair critics sometimes.
Yeah.
We're just waiting for a bad result. And a bad result, then we want to try and find the reason. But the truth of the matter is, every player that is at Sundowns should be able to make Sundowns to win a PSL match. Every player. If you can't make Sundowns to win a PSL match, then why would we think we've got a team that can win the Champions League? Because if it means we only have 11 or 15 players that can win us the Champions League, then we are not honest to ourselves. But I do believe the team that we have has got capacity to win the Champions League. And it's strange because after the game against ESFA, and I know people are looking at that team lightly because it's unknown to people.
Yeah.
Hey, that team, they have played Raja twice. Raja is probably the biggest team in Morocco. And they beat Raja at home 1-0, 2-0 in the Champions League. And they beat Raja 3-1 in the league, away from home. And you start thinking when you have got a God-given right to win such matches. But the other spin-off in this, which I thought was very good for the club, because if you look at Al Ahly in winning the Champions League, they have not done it the way Sundowns has been doing over the past few years. Sundowns group stage is 16 points, 18 points, and everybody now starts to think we've got a God-given right to win the Champions League. And I was of the view that maybe this is a good test of character, because for me, the point at ASFA was a good point, but I felt bad because I think the team could have won the match.
Sure.
And we made an elementary mistakes, which we had trained, because I can show you those moves, maybe 5-6 goals that number 34, Himrat scored, where he runs late into the box from a 6 position into that area in the far post. And the players were aware of the threats, we had four players that we had to target and make sure that they do not cause us problems. And those players, Khimat was the most important from any ball that is coming from White, because he's got this Castillo run of going opposite the ball. When the ball is played on the right, he's going on the far side, is looking to get into the far post. And that, he does it regularly. But the difference, the cross is very precise in North Africa. You make one mistake, you get punished. Mm. In South Africa, you create 15, 20 chances. At times, you don't even score one goal.
In conversation with Coach Manqoba Mncethi, former Mamelodi Sundowns head coach, and we are into the last 9 minutes of the show. And again, all you YouTubers, thank you so much indeed for keeping the conversation going. It's unbelievable that we are at this stage. But let's check out some of the voice notes.
Hi, Brarop, Sergei Sitebe here. Good evening to my coach. I love that man. Coach, I just want to say hard luck. I would have loved for you to take my team Sundowns to the Club World Cup, but things were not going well for you. I mean, like, we had times where for the first half we didn't have any shots on target. I don't know what was wrong, but nevertheless, I'm your number one supporter. I still have to meet you personally. I wish you all the best in your future endeavors. Thanks, Brarop. Good show, as always.
CJ, thank you so much indeed. One of the other questions, Coach, that keeps popping up here is the fact that would you ever work with Coach Pitso Mosimane again?
I don't have any issue with Pitso. We worked very well with Pitso and we achieved a lot together.
Yeah.
So I would never have a problem with this. So I respect him a lot as a human being and as a coach. I don't have anyone that I've got issues with. I don't make enemies. I try to make as many friends.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to your listeners too. And good evening to Manqoba Mncethi. He poured out his heart today. I'm happy to them listening to Manqoba today. Even the people that think that Cardoso is going to play all the players, is not going to play all the players. It's still going to be a cry. It's still going to be a lose. It's still going to be a win. It's not going to be a win one way.
It's never going to be one way, but she says you poured your heart out. and you can't dispute that. Just a couple of the comments that are coming through here. Alim Simanga on the YouTube channel says that the team played brilliantly well. The problem started when by losing the two cup games. The losing of the two cup games was the reason for the sacking of the coach. Osimpiwa says every time you included Mukwena, we struggled. Samuel says that, can you ask the coach if he refuses to realize some of the players to go overseas as well? Okay, maybe let's ask that one. Might have read it wrong, but have you ever come to blocking a move of a player that potentially has an overseas move?
Rob, with me, it's impossible. I want players to go. I want players to realize their dreams, because I'm old enough to be a father of these kids. And I want these players to achieve their goals in life. From Golden Arrows, a club that was never fancied, I released Kagiso Dikgatso to go to Fulham. I released Kagiso Senamela to go to Turkey. I released players every year at Arrows. People were just coming to grab, just like what they were doing at Maritzburg United. So at Sundowns, again, if there was anything that would be asked to me, what do you think, there is this offer for this player? Personally, as a father figure, knowing that each player has got this ambition of playing for the big team in the country, and after that dream, the player wants to go abroad. If there is any opportunity, I would let go of the player. And I've also asked these questions from the powers that be, as to, did you block the moves of the players?
Yes.
Because I wanted to know exactly what is happening in that space. And you will be pleasantly surprised when you hear that there was never the really, really tangible moves. People would talk, you know, in South Africa, there are rumors and gossips in this country. More especially if they are negative, they are stronger.
Yes.
But the truth of the matter is, clubs can always ask, you know, hey, if we were to put an offer, would you come to us? But bring, then let's talk. And sometimes the player is bought by Sundowns, let's say for 10 million. And somebody says, I want to buy this player for 5 million. Would you listen to that?
Nah, I mean, that makes no business sense. But a guy like Peter Shalulile, I would have imagined that he would have possibly had offers from somewhere overseas. In your time at Sundowns, did that ever sit on the table at a meeting to say, guys, listen, we are faced with the problem. We might lose Peter next season.
I also asked specifically about Peter because I always had these rumors of the Middle East and what. There might have been teams that wanted Peter, but from the knowledge that I have, and I'm saying what I have, I don't know because I'm never involved in the finances. I don't even know how much a player is bought, and I don't want that information because ultimately that information makes you to even want to play the player because you are thinking of the expenses. So I like it when this thing is discussed at another level and the coach is not involved because I think it's good. Because then as a coach, you are not under pressure to say, hey, but I know the investment that was put on this player. Because I've got a Kutlwano there that I can see the boy is buzzing and the boy is saying, I want to be a first-team player and I want to play ahead of some senior players. I want to play that player because personally, I must be objective and look at what is happening in training. But as for Peter, there may have been some offers, but I think it was that story of the Sundowns have spent so much on the player and you are coming. And sometimes the people that want these players, which is something that can never be stopped, they would promise the player more so that the player fights the club. But I always advise the players that, please, you must first check with the club what would make the club happy before you engage into what would you want to get. Because if you are earning 8,000 rands and I'm saying, hey man, you know, if we can get you, I can pay you 10,000 rands. That means you've got a 90% increment in your salary. But I don't tell you how much will I be prepared to spend to get you from the club. Then you will be very unhappy because you've gotten into a wrong conversation that tells you how much you could earn on the other side. But that conversation did not tell you how much would the club expect to get for you to be allowed to go. And that information is very important. And agents must help the players because you even destroy the player that is yours because you give him the information that he actually does not need. Because the player does not need to know that there is someone who can pay you 10 times more than what you are earning when that person is not willing to meet the expectations of the club.
And they start to perform very, very badly. TJ says, decisions had to be made, but this was a bad decision. I repeat what I've been saying. Clubs are setting unrealistic goals for both coaches and players, and this is unfortunate. In a real world, yes, football has become a business, but again, no coach will win all games, even Pep Guardiola himself.
Good day, Darob. Good day to the coach. I just wanted to ask a couple of quick questions. What will the coach miss the most at Sundowns? I think that's the first one. And then if the universe were to give him a team tomorrow, as well as give the coach an opportunity to take one goalkeeper, one player who plays at the back, one midfielder, and one player who plays forward for Mamelodi Sundowns, who would those players be? Thank you. This is Tembisa in Butler Park, Germiston.
You able to do that in 30 seconds?
The players.
Maybe now, what you would miss the most?
I will miss being with the group that I was working with from the technical team, the players, the kitchen staff, everybody that surrounds the club, the kit guys, the security guys, everybody that was always traveling with the team because we had become a family because Sundowns keeps you together all the time. Every 2 days you are in a flight together, you are in a bus together, and you must enjoy that environment because if you don't want to be with us, unfortunately your life will be miserable because every 2 days we are together.
Who's the craziest person to travel with?
I think for me, Dennis and Kennedy would win that.
I expected that. Thank you so much, Coach. Mandy Sam says, this was the shortest two-hour discussion that we had. A lot of people saying just thank you so much indeed, Coach, for coming through. And also from my side, thanks to everybody on the YouTube channel. I salute. We'll catch you again tomorrow. Coach, from my side, wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and I hope that you get back into coaching pretty soon. I think the environment, the league is always different and lacks something when you are not there. So I hope that happens pretty soon.
Thank you very much, Rob. And I also want to thank the Sundowns family for the love, the support, and everything that they did for me from the time I joined the club. I will forever be grateful and indebted to them, because they really loved and supported me through all the times, the good times, the bad times. My name would always pop up and the supporters would always be singing for me, wishing me all the best all the time. And I will miss that. The management of the club and the board and the president, the chairman and everybody involved at Sundowns, I think everybody has been very good to me. And I will be unfair to say anything negative about this club.
I appreciate your time. I appreciate everybody's time. Thanks to the team as well here in studio for carrying us right through up until 8 o'clock right now. So this is where we call it quits, guys. The former coach of Mamelodi Sundowns, Mangoba Mngeti, I thank him very, very much indeed. And I dare say the future coach of...
Hashtag MSW, live now on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.